Our text is Psalm 23, verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Beloved, perhaps no psalm is better known or more loved than Psalm 23, the shepherd psalm. Psalm 23 has a rich history and an important place in the Word of God. Often, Psalm 23 is the first psalm that the children of the church memorize. Perhaps the children here this evening have memorized Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd." This psalm also is a favorite psalm of pastors who are bringing comfort to God's people who are sick, or God's people even who are on their deathbeds. And only eternity will tell us how many of God's saints were called home, listening, or even singing, the words of Psalm 23. And Psalm 23 is a beautiful psalm, beautiful in its simplicity of expression. Very simple words, very simple concepts in this psalm. And yet, Psalm 23 is profound, very, very deep, and theological in its meaning. In 6 short, simple verses, we have David here under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, praising Jehovah his shepherd. And yet, in words which are so pregnant in meaning that we can scarcely plumb the depths of the meaning of this psalm. In fact, a minister is almost afraid to preach on Psalm 23 because it is so beloved of God's people. It is so popular. It is so well known. How could he possibly do it justice? But it is part of the Word of God, part of that which is profitable for God's people, and therefore let us consider this psalm this evening. The entire psalm is one glad confession of David for the care of Jehovah, who is his shepherd. Everything that David has in his life as a sheep of Jehovah God, he attributes to the fact that he belongs to this particular shepherd. And in 6 short verses, he summarizes all of the wonderful things, all of the great blessings, all of the care and concern and love that Jehovah shows him as a sheep of his pasture. And unlike many of the psalms, there is no complaint passing the lips of the psalmist here. Everything in the psalm is positive. Everything that the shepherd does is good and praiseworthy. And the very first verse, the very first line, sums up the entire message of this psalm. Jehovah is my shepherd. 2 words in the original Hebrew. Jehovah, my shepherd. In a very real way, the well-being and happiness and blessedness of a sheep depends upon the shepherd. Imagine for a moment 2 sheep who belong to 2 different folds under the care of 2 different shepherds living in adjoining fields. 1 sheep is thin and mangy. His wool is a tangled mess. He's tormented by parasites. He's a miserable sheep. And the other sheep is well fed. He's plump. He's healthy. He's flourishing. His wool is in perfect condition. And if these 2 sheep, these two neighbors, you could say, who belong to two different shepherds could talk to one another through the fence, what would they say? The first miserable sheep would say to the happy sheep, "Why are you so full of hell? Why is it that your wool is tangle-free? How is it that you are free from parasites and other annoyances? Why do you get to eat the succulent grass? Why are you so happy, so content, so carefree, while I am miserable?" And the second sheep simply smiles through the fence, as it were, and says, "It's nothing to do with me. It's everything to do with my shepherd." The happiness of belonging to Jehovah's flock. That's our theme. The happiness of belonging to Jehovah's flock. Notice first the dependent sheep, then the dependable shepherd, and finally the rich provision. When David makes this glad confession, "Jehovah is my shepherd, the Lord is my shepherd," what he is saying is, "I am a sheep." A sheep. And to call yourself a sheep is to make a humble confession of utter dependence upon God. There is nothing mighty or noble or impressive about sheep. Of all the animals on the farm, sheep are the most pathetic, the most helpless, and the most dependent. Many of the animals, domesticated animals on the farm, can be left more or less to their own devices and can look after themselves. Not sheep. Many animals are fierce predators. Lions, bears, eagles, and so on. But not sheep. And if you see yourself this evening as one who depends entirely upon God for absolutely everything, then you are confessing gladly and humbly, as David does in this psalm, "I am no eagle, I am no lion, I am no bear or wolf, I am a sheep. I am just a sheep." Sheep are among the most foolish, wayward, and downright stupid of animals. Left to themselves, sheep will be sure to eat the wrong thing, even if you put the right kind of food in front of them. They will risk poisoning themselves by wandering off to eat a noxious weed. Or they will gorge themselves and make themselves sick. Or they will eat so much that they ruin the pasture for an entire generation. They will eat down to the very roots, so nothing will grow in the next season, leaving a field which was once succulent and covered in grass, a barren wasteland or desert. They will trample over their own food. They will pollute their own water supply. Left to themselves, they will drink the wrong kind of water and get themselves infected by parasites and other pests. Sheep will wander off the right path. They will fall into ditches. They will sink into swamps. They will get caught in thorn bushes or simply die of exposure to the elements. They will fall over and struggle to get back up again, and without the shepherd, they will die. And because they are a crowd-following kind of animal, they will follow each other even into danger. They are unable to notice that danger is in their way. And because of their weakness and their dependence and their waywardness and their stupidity, sheep are easy prey to every beast Sheep are a welcome meal for all kinds of predators. Sheep themselves only eat plants, but they are a source of meat to bears and to lions and to wolves and to eagles. And men will be tempted to steal them and destroy them. And sheep have no natural defense. They have no sharp teeth. They have no claws. They rarely have horns. They cannot even have a loud roar to scare off another animal. At best, a sheep is a ball of wool that bleats pathetically when danger is near, and more often than not, a sheep will simply panic or freeze in terror when an enemy approaches. Sheep do not even have a sense of danger. They are naturally trusting and foolish, easily fooled, easily trapped, easily led astray. It is a full-time job for a shepherd just to keep a sheep alive. That's what a sheep is like, beloved. And David says, "The Lord is my shepherd," meaning, "I am a sheep." David therefore confesses that he is a dependent, weak, pathetic, foolish, downright stupid creature who depends entirely upon Jehovah God to give him everything that he needs. And why, beloved, are sheep this way? Why, biologically, are sheep this kind of creature? It's not a quirk of evolution. It's something that God himself has planned. God made the earthly creation to be a picture of the heavenly realities. And so nothing that God made was made at random or arbitrarily. Nothing is without rhyme or reason or purpose. That's what evolution teaches. There is no purpose. It's all purposeless. But creation tells us that God made everything. He planned all the details of everything, and he made sheep to be a certain way for a reason. So it's not the case that God first conceived of having a people, and then he said to himself, "Now what kind of animal can I find in creation which would be a perfect picture of my people?" And then discovered a sheep. No. God made a sheep to be that way in order to be a perfect picture of his people. And that's true with all of creation. God made light, and God made the sun, and God made plants to grow out of seeds, all to be a picture of heavenly realities. And Jesus Christ had a very good insight into these things, which explains many of his parables. And so God determined in his eternal counsel to make an animal to be a perfect reflection of his people, and he did not choose to make us to be like a soaring eagle or a majestic lion or a sly serpent. He chose the humble sheep, the foolish, stubborn, wandering, easily led astray, utterly defenseless sheep. And so to say, "I am a sheep," is hardly a flattering thing to have to admit. Perhaps we'd rather say, "I would much prefer to think of myself as an eagle or as a lion." But the Bible humbles us and tells us, "Oh no, you're a sheep. You're a sheep. Foolish, wayward sheep." Now, as sheep, we have nothing of ourselves. We may confess, and we must confess in this text, The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, or I shall lack nothing. But left to ourselves, the opposite is true. If the Lord were not our shepherd, we would lack everything. And as sheep, we lack every good thing by nature. As sheep, we wander and are lost. And as sheep, we depend entirely upon God. As sheep, we need to be fed. We need nourishment. We need food and water. And we do not know, beloved, where we will find it. We need a shepherd to provide it. In fact, as sheep, we do not even know what is good for us to eat. And when the Lord gives us sound, healthy food, more often than not, we wander off and try to feed ourselves on something else. We think that some experience will feed our hungry souls, or some new teaching which is attractive to us will be good for us, or some new philosophy of the world will satisfy our hunger. And time again, as foolish, wayward sheep, we wander off and we discover, to our cost, that the world offers nothing but emptiness and vanity. And then we find ourselves wandering away from the shepherd, and we bleat out to him pathetically, "Lord, save me!" We cry out to him, and the shepherd then, in his love, provides for what we need. And as sheep, we are prone to find the wrong path, to stray away from the right path, even when the shepherd very clearly points out to us what the right path is. We need a shepherd to lead us. In fact, we need a shepherd to go before us and actually bring us on the right path. Because only telling us where the path is not enough. We need him to cause us to follow him. And that's why God designed it. God designed sheep to be utterly dependent upon the shepherd, and God designed his people to be utterly dependent upon him, so that we would give God all the glory. In fact, it is impossible for God to create a creature who is not dependent upon the Creator. That would be impossible. You would have then two independent beings. All creatures, all of them, are dependent entirely upon God. God upholds everything that he has made, including you and me. God gives us existence and continues to give us existence for every moment that we exist. In him, we live and move and have our being. The unbeliever will generally not confess this, will not even be aware of this. But the believer in Jesus Christ, he consciously knows and understands that as a sheep of Jehovah's pasture, that he or she depends entirely and always on God for all things. And especially, we depend upon Jehovah our God for all spiritual things, for grace. There is no grace to be found in us for the forgiveness of our sins, for eternal life. For every blessing comes from God alone. And so God will be glorified when we make verse 1 our confession. The Lord is my shepherd, therefore I am a sheep. I shall not want. I have nothing of myself, but Jehovah gives me everything. And only the believer is able to make this confession. Because only the believer, by the grace of God, has seen his own emptiness and his own vanity and his own sinfulness, and can say from the heart, I am nothing but a dependent, foolish, wayward sheep. Poor and pathetic I am. The proud, unbelieving man will say, I depend upon myself. I will find all the resources for living in this world in myself. I do not need anyone else apart from me. I am an independent person. Or, someone will say, well, I rely on God for some things, but for the most part, I can fend for myself. Not so with David here, and not so with Jehovah's sheep. We depend upon God for everything. So we have here an utterly dependent sheep. And the glad confession of this sheep is, he is not left to fend for himself in the big bad world. He has a shepherd. And as a sheep, he needs a shepherd. A shepherd is much more than a livestock owner who happens to have some sheep. A shepherd is someone who looks after and who cares for and who provides for his sheep. And that is a full-time occupation. And David understood that. It's more than simply a job. It's a calling. It's not possible to be a part-time shepherd. It's not possible to adopt a hands-off approach to shepherding sheep. Because of the nature of sheep, utterly dependent, shepherds must live with their sheep. They must love their sheep. They must watch over and constantly guard their sheep. To be a shepherd is a very demanding calling, therefore. It requires boundless energy, great wisdom, constant vigilance, ceaseless care. And that's something, beloved, that David understood because in the providence of God, David was a shepherd. And again, that was no accident. God made David a shepherd so that he would have insights into the calling of a shepherd, insights into the reality of sheep and shepherding. That is why David, and not Paul or Luke, is the penman or the human writer chosen to write the words of Psalm 23. This is called organic inspiration. God took living people, holy men of God they're called, but they're men, living men with lives and experiences of their own. And he molded them and prepared them to be the human writers of his word in such a way that the very word that they write is his inspired word. Now, humanly speaking, neither Paul nor Luke could have written Psalm 23. Paul had no experience of sheep, and nor did Luke. Paul was a Pharisee and a tent maker, and Luke was a physician. Because God did not decide to himself, I would like Psalm 23 to be in the Holy Scriptures. Now, who can I find to write Psalm 23? Who would be a suitable candidate to write this part of my word? That's not how God did it. Instead, God prepared David to be the writer of Psalm 23. Just as he prepared each of the individual human writers, Luke and Paul and Mark and Matthew and Peter and all the rest. And so he causes David to be born to Jesse, who was a shepherd. Caused him to be born as the youngest son, so he would have the lowly task of looking after the flocks of Jesse. And this prepared David not only to write Psalm 23, but also to have a merciful insight into the people of God, who are like sheep. And so he could be a king who rules over God's people as a shepherd. You can read some of that in his life. 1 Samuel 17, verse 34, David confesses to Saul. And David said unto Saul, "Thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him, and smote him, and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard, and smote him, and slew him." All of this, therefore, has prepared David to be the penman of Psalm 23. A shepherd is everything to his sheep. He's a guide. He's a provider. He's a protector. He's a physician. He's even a friend. And so the task of a shepherd is not for the faint-hearted. Anyone lacking devotion, anyone afraid of hard work or hardship or danger, cannot be a shepherd. To be a shepherd, remember, as David just confessed there in 1 Samuel 17, you have to be able to face a bear or a lion. And all you have as your weapon is your staff. Not for the faint-hearted, therefore. The sheep are hungry and require food. Who is going to provide it but the shepherd? The sheep need water. Where is it going to be found if the shepherd does not get it? The sheep are diseased and tormented with flies and parasites. Only the shepherd is able to heal them. The sheep are confused and lost and wandering on the hillside. Only the shepherd can lead the way and go and find the lost and wandering sheep. The sheep are threatened by predators or poachers. And only the shepherd is able to protect his sheep and fight off the enemy. And this comes out in the Hebrew expression translated, "my shepherd." It is, grammatically speaking, a present participle, which could be translated this way: the one shepherding me, or the one tending me, or the one feeding me. It's not the case that a shepherd goes once a day and casts a few morsels of food before the sheep and then goes home and sits in his armchair and enjoys himself. No, the idea here is of constant, uninterrupted, ceaseless, continuous activity. The idea of a present participle is that he is always shepherding me. And my life depends upon his activity of always shepherding me. And should this shepherd, even for a moment, cease to be my shepherd, I would perish. That's how utterly dependent I am on him. And that's how utterly faithful he is to me. This shepherd of David, and this shepherd of all of God's people in all ages, and our shepherd this evening, is none other than Jehovah himself. Jehovah God, the Lord, Yahweh. That's the Lord, the covenant name of God, of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He then, Jehovah God, He owns the flock. He cares for and provides for the entire flock and every individual sheep and lamb in his flock. That's some confession. That's a beautiful and comforting confession to make. If your shepherd, beloved, and my shepherd this evening, is Jehovah God, of course the conclusion must be, I shall not want. Because Jehovah God is the creator of heaven and earth. He is the God of infinite resources. The God who is utterly independent. He depends on nothing and no one outside of himself. And so those who are utterly dependent can rely entirely upon him. He is the God of all wisdom and all power, and thus he is able in his almighty power to provide for everything that his defenseless, dependent sheep need. Not only today, or when we're in trouble sometime in the future, when we're sick, when we're about to die, but throughout the endless ages of eternity, he is our shepherd, we shall not want. And he is the unchangeable, faithful God, the God who doesn't change his mind, the God who doesn't turn his back upon his people or break his promises, the faithful God who is always true, the God who never grows tired or weary of his faithless people, the God whose love never changes, the God who never slumbers nor sleeps. He is the shepherd. And if he is the shepherd, surely there is no reason to fear. He is also the shepherd who loves his sheep. He is the tender-hearted and loving and merciful shepherd. And so the psalmist cries out, as a happy sheep, as it were, Jehovah is my shepherd. He's not my butcher. He's not my enemy. He's not a terror unto me. He is my shepherd. And with Jehovah as my shepherd, I have no reason to fear, because he looks after every one of the sheep and the lambs, because remember, he has lambs as well as sheep. He has little ones in his flock. He looks after them. He is their carer. He is their provider. He is their friend. And this Jehovah is Jesus Christ himself. Throughout the Old Testament, God revealed to his people that the Messiah that he would send would be a divine shepherd. Jehovah is the shepherd in Psalm 23, in Psalm 80 and other passages, in Isaiah 40, in other places. But Jesus, whose name means Jehovah Salvation, he is the shepherd also. For example, Ezekiel 34:23 tells us that God promises to send a shepherd like David. That's Jesus Christ. Zechariah 13 verse 7, God prophesies that he will smite the shepherd with the sword of his wrath. That's Jesus Christ, who was smitten on the cross. And all of this comes to wonderful fulfillment when Jesus Christ walks upon the earth and proclaims to the people of Israel, I am the good shepherd. I give my life for the sheep. And so the good shepherd, Jesus Christ, Jehovah in the flesh, comes to die on the cross for the sheep of Jehovah's pasture. That's how, beloved, that's how he is the shepherd. That's how he shepherds us and tends us and feeds us and saves us from our spiritual enemy. The devil, remember, is a roaring lion. He is a vicious wolf. He is a venomous serpent. And Jesus Christ defeated those enemies, that great foe of our souls, in dying on the cross. That's where the devil was finally defeated. That's the only way in which the sheep could be led out of the wilderness of sin and death into the green pastures of blessedness of life with Jehovah God. Because our sins, beloved, had to be paid for. Satisfaction had to be made to the justice of God. And this was done, as we know full well, on the cross where Jesus died. And this is David's great happiness in Psalm 23. Jehovah is his shepherd, and he, David, along with all of the other sheep of the flock, belongs to Jehovah. As we said, it makes all the difference in the world if you are a sheep to whom you belong. Because sheep are utterly dependent upon their shepherd. And so if the shepherd is a bad shepherd, the sheep will ultimately suffer and perish. If the sheep are under the care of an hireling who runs away at the first sign of danger, then the sheep will suffer. If the sheep are under the care of a careless fool, the sheep will suffer. If the sheep are under the care of a cruel man, again, the sheep will suffer. Now, there are all kinds of shepherds or would-be shepherds in this world today, all kinds of people that men and women trust in to look after them, provide for them, but only those who trust in this shepherd set forth in Psalm 23, only those who have Jehovah, Jesus Christ, as their shepherd, only they will be saved. All others who trust in all other shepherds will perish. For some, many in this land, the Pope is the chief shepherd of their souls. They will perish. For others, they look to medicine, or science, or politics. Some look to spiritualists, or other religious leaders, or gurus. Others look to human philosophy. Young people who have empty and meaningless lives often will join gangs, and that will be their flock, and the gang leader will be their shepherd. And in that way, they're trying to hide their emptiness by a kind of bravado and violence. But these young people are following after false shepherds. And really, if Jehovah is not your shepherd is the devil. Because there only are two main shepherds, Jehovah, Jesus Christ, or the devil. And the devil is not a good shepherd. The devil is really a butcher of souls, a cruel shepherd who destroys all of those who seek refuge in him. But David is not like those poor, wandering, helpless souls. He cries out in joy and faith, Jehovah is my shepherd. He's not just the shepherd of Israel or the shepherd of many people in this world. He's my own personal shepherd. I know him to be my shepherd. I experience the blessedness of belonging to him. I know him and he knows me. He loves me and I love him. He calls me, I hear his voice, and I follow him. And so we sing in Psalm 100, verse 3, we are His people and the sheep of His pasture. That must be, beloved, the personal confession of all of us this evening. We must be able to say, we believe in this shepherd. We trust in this shepherd. We have forsaken all other shepherds. And because of this, we are happy and blessed. Now, being a sheep in Jehovah's flock does not depend upon us. It depends upon Him. That's true with the reality of sheep. Why are sheep found in the flock of a certain shepherd and not in the flock of another man? Because of the work and the industry and the wealth and the resources and the constant care of that shepherd. Either the shepherd buys the sheep, or he owns the lambs which are born to the sheep which he already owns. These sheep do not of their own free will just wander into his field and become his sheep. Every sheep in his sheepfold is the result of all of his ceaseless activity and effort, tremendous effort, just to keep that bundle of wool alive. And no shepherd lays claim to all the sheep in the world. The shepherd knows which ones belong to him. Now, shepherds back in the days of the Bible would simply call their sheep by name. Today they put marks upon their sheep. And what does the shepherd do with all of the other sheep who do not belong to him? Does he feed them? Does he look after them? Does he care about them? No, he does not. He simply cares about his own sheep. Other sheep which do not belong to him are none of his concern. And that's true spiritually as well. Jehovah set his love upon certain individuals to be his sheep before the foundation of the world. We are his sheep by sovereign election. Jehovah paid for those particular sheep and for none other by paying the price of the blood of Jesus Christ to redeem those particular sheep from their sins. We are his sheep by perfect redemption. And Jehovah, therefore, only cares for certain individuals in this world who are the sheep of his pasture. The other sheep he leaves to their own devices. But each of his own sheep, he seeks them out, he finds them, he brings them to himself, he provides for them every moment of the day. No matter how far they might have wandered away from him, he never fails to save each of his sheep. And because we belong to Jehovah, who is our shepherd, and to no other shepherd, we can say, and we shall say with David, I shall not want. Which means, I lack nothing. I am in need of nothing. That word want does not refer to desires or preferences, but to needs. I shall not want does not mean I have no needs, but that all of the needs that I have are perfectly met by my shepherd. I need food. He gives me the finest grazing. I need guidance. He leads me on the paths of righteousness, and when I stray, he restores my soul. I need comfort. He's with me in the valley of the shadow of death. I need protection. He protects me with his rod and his staff. He gives me all of the things that I as a sheep need. I don't pay for any of these things. I don't earn any of these things. They're provided for me out of His own sovereign, perfect, particular grace. He gives them to me at exactly the right time, in exactly the right amounts, so that I never lack a thing. And He spares no pains to provide me with everything that I need. In fact, as a sheep by nature, I deserve nothing. I am entitled to nothing. I have not even got the right to be a sheep. And everything that I possess as a sheep of Jehovah's flock comes to me because Jesus Christ, who is Jehovah in the flesh, purchased it for me at the cost of His own blood. And so look to the cross, beloved. And there you will see what it cost God to make you and me His sheep. There you will see how He was punished on the cross in our stead. And then you will conclude with Paul, "He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him freely give us all things?" And so the cross guarantees that Jehovah the Good Shepherd will freely give us everything else. If He gave us Jesus Christ on the cross, He will give us everything that we need. We have no reason to fear. We have no reason to doubt. We must confess, as the psalmist does, "I shall not want." Now that's not simply future, that's present tense. The Hebrew has the idea of both future and present, an ongoing thing. It could be translated this way: I lack nothing, I keep on lacking nothing, I will continue forever to lack nothing. No matter what happens to me, whatever hardship comes upon me, whatever trial or affliction God sends upon me in this valley of tears, if I get sick or my loved ones get sick, and even when I die, I lack nothing. That's our confession as we read and believe Psalm 23, and as we will soon sing Psalm 23, that's our confession. I am a dependent sheep. Of myself I am foolish, empty, and lost. Of myself I lack everything. But Jehovah, Jesus Christ, He is the all-sufficient, merciful, good, ever-faithful Shepherd. And because I belong to Him, and only because I belong to Him, I shall not want. That's our confession, beloved, as utterly satisfied, perfectly contented, happy, blessed sheep. Amen.